Hear the word of our Lord for our meditation this day. It comes to us from Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just keep that up there, will you? Thanks. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the writing that St. Paul was inspired to do as he wrote to the church in Galatia. We thank you, Lord, that he clearly distinguishes the difference between law and faith. And today we're here to hear the good news, the gospel message of what it means to be a child of God, an heir of everlasting life, clothed with Christ. And Lord, today we are so thankful that all of heaven is rejoicing because Joseph has been brought into the kingdom through holy baptism. Lord, we give you thanks for the amazing gifts you give to us, that you call us by name, that you circumcise our hearts, that you, O Lord, are faithful to clothe us with the crown of righteousness. Lord, we give you praise and honor that you allow us by the Holy Spirit's power to put on all of the armor that you give to us, and then you give us the robe of righteousness as well. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we know and we trust and we believe that we have received all that is necessary for salvation. So on this day, January 1st, 2012, may we know the greatest gift that we have received this Christmas is the gift of everlasting life, the forgiveness of sins, and the power to live as your people because we have been clothed with Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simple water, God's mighty word, willing parents, a family of God who loves the Lord and trusts in his word, causes all of heaven to rejoice this day because Joseph didn't cry during his baptism. No. All of heaven rejoices today for the simple truth of what St. Paul was sharing with the children of God in Galatia. All of heaven is rejoicing today because through baptism, God has clothed Joseph. That's kind of nerve-wracking. Clothed Joseph with righteousness. In one of the congregations I served, they had this person who had an abundance of time on their hands, which we don't have very many of people like that in our congregation. As a matter of fact, I don't know one. So if you are, you have an abundance of time on your hands, be careful, because we may use you. But there was a lady who had an abundance of time on her hands, and she would make these little bibs that we would give to children on their baptism. And we used to put them on, and there's actually a part in the service before the candle, before you receive the candle, which we gave to you so that you can remember his baptismal anniversary. And this should be an easy one, you know. All of, at least Western culture, is celebrating with you on New Year's. So it's a good one to remember. But we gave you the candle because we want you to remember this. We want you to teach Joseph each and every day that he is a child of God, that he has been brought into the kingdom through baptism. But we had this lady who would make these bibs, and we would, and it was really hard for me because, you know, it's hard when people come to church and they have their children all dressed really nice because they're going to take pictures, you know, and then you try to put this bib on them. It's not an easy thing. But the idea of the bib was that this was a symbol of the righteousness and the clothes that God was putting on the child in baptism. And I thought it was really neat. You know, I didn't discourage her from doing it. I encouraged her to do it. And when sometimes it was really difficult, especially if the children were bigger, to get the bib on. But I thought it was really cool because when I could say at the end of the ceremony, I would say, a new child of God, robed in righteousness. You see, there's lots of examples in Scripture where God tells us how he will clothe us. We hear in the Old Testament about a crown of beauty instead of ashes. We hear of a robe of righteousness given to us when we are forgiven of our sins. We hear about the armor of God in several places in St. Paul's writings. We hear of the armor of God, especially in Ephesians chapter 6, where he goes into all the parts of the armor that we're to put on by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We recognize that God wants to clothe us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this passage of Scripture just struck me because, you know, it was much easier for the Jewish children who were circumcised on the eighth day to know throughout their life that they were marked as one of the children of the heirs of Abraham. Either you knew through, if you were a male, through yourself, but also if you're female, through your father or through your husband. You knew that you belonged to the family. There was a mark. There was some way for you to know. And yet, it bothers me that today, so much emphasis in baptism is put on what we do. Some people make it about the water. They say now that I shouldn't be going around and putting my hands in this because there's something special about the water. I'm like, no, there isn't. As a matter of fact, I have a good source that it came from Canada. I mean, what can be holy in, oh no, anyways. Those of you who know me understand why that's funny. But, I mean, really, there's nothing special here. It's simple water. That's why Jesus said, that's why John was baptizing in the Jordan, because it was disgusting, dirty water. It wasn't the water that made it special. It was the using of the water with God's mighty word. It's the word that makes it special. It's the promise that makes it special. It's what God has done in sending his son Jesus into the flesh when he was circumcised and named Jesus. Why was he named Jesus? Because the angel told them in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, told Mary and Joseph that they were to name the child Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And so they were faithful. They circumcised him and they named him Jesus because the angel told them to. If you remember, this is interesting because when you read the Gospels, you find out that this happened with John. Remember when John was brought and was to be named? John the Baptist, and his mother Elizabeth was asked, what's the child to be named? Because his father, Zechariah, couldn't speak, remember? He didn't believe, and so he was told he wouldn't be able to speak. And so he had been without a voice, and so they asked his mother, how is this child to be named? Just like I asked you today, how is this child to be named? And what did Elizabeth say? John, his name will be John. And what did everybody say? You can't name him John. You ever had relatives that kind of like to tell you what to do? It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. They said, you can't name him John. Why? Do you remember? nobody in your family is named John. So what happened? Yeah, they gave him a tablet, and what did he say? He wrote on the tablet, his name will be John, and then he could speak. What a wonderful day. You see, the naming of us as children of God is not insignificant. When you were baptized in holy baptism, God named you as a child of God. So we could say Joseph Walter Jesus, because he is named as an heir. That's what it says here. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are heirs according to the promise. And yet it disturbs me within Christendom that we want to question all the time. Well, I even heard someone say in a blog that they were considering being baptized for the 14th or 15th time because they just didn't remember all of the things that they experienced the last time. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of shaking my head going, okay. But isn't that putting a lot of onus on us? Isn't that saying that it really matters about what Joseph experiences today? Well, he slept through the whole thing. So does that mean all of heaven is rejoicing? Does that mean that nothing special happened today? Does that mean that he didn't get clothes? I entitled this sermon, It's Not the Emperor's Clothes. Because I heard someone compare our baptism, the baptism of Lutherans and Catholics and others do, which is to baptize infants, as kind of like the emperor's clothes. Remember the story of the emperor's clothes? There was an emperor who loved clothes. When most people were spending their time in the council chamber, he was spending his time in the wardrobe. He would often change several times a day. This is an emperor who loved clothes. And one time, these two imposters came into town and claimed that they were great weavers. And they said they could make him the ultimate clothes. But they would be made out of a special thread. The thread would be this fantastic thread that only people who were extremely wise and noble would be able to see it. If you were not wise and noble, if you were foolish or stupid, you would not be able to see the thread. And so the emperor thought to himself, ha, I will get them to make me clothes. And then I will find out who in my kingdom is noble and wise and who is not. I'm doing this nice because we're in church. But that's really what it is. You know, he says, I will get them to make these clothes. And so during the time that these weavers are working so hard on the emperor's clothes, the emperor keeps sending people to check out the clothes. And everyone that goes there looks at the clothes and goes, there's nothing there. But because they want to be wise and noble, what do they say when they come back to the emperor? They're beautiful! They're amazing! You're going to look awesome! Again, my words. But, you know, so each time someone from the court goes to the weavers, they come back and tell this wonderful story. Then finally, it's the day when the emperor gets to receive his clothes. And they bring this, in fantastic fanfare, they bring in his clothes. And to his horror, he doesn't see any clothes. So as the story goes, he pretends to dress. And he goes on a procession through town in order to show everyone his amazing, amazing new clothes. Well, it's the little children that are along the parade route that first notice that the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. Remember this? And it's the children, the innocent children, that say, hey, look, he's not wearing any clothes. Then all of a sudden the adults start. And the way the story ends, according to Hans Christian Andersen, Is that the guy that wrote it, isn't it? What? Yeah. According to him, the king's committed. He just keeps walking. And so I've been told from believers, and I believe that as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're a believer. I don't pick denominations. That's not my job. I'm not a judge. But I've been told by others, well, you know, your idea of baptism is kind of like the emperor's clothes. And I go, say what? Because, number one, we have a God who is not a liar. We have a God who is capable of doing what he promises. And if our God says we're clothed with righteousness, I believe that we're clothed with righteousness. If our God says that he can adopt us as his children through Jesus Christ, I believe that he is capable of adopting us as his children through Christ Jesus. To say that this is the emperor's clothes is to believe that the one who says he's clothing us is a deceiver. And that is a lie. Because our God does not lie. Our God proved who he was by being born in that manger, dying on the cross, and rising again. Rising again by his own power to show us that he has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And he desperately wants us to clothe ourselves with his Holy Spirit, to receive what he has for us. It's a gift. He wants us, this is what it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's the most important thing. He even goes on to say, therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying is, all this other stuff doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Everything that's important is in this one amazing gift, that you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. That is the most important thing. More important than your race, more important than your ethnicity, more important than whether you're male or female. All of these things pale in comparison to what happens when you're baptized and brought into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? He says, if you belong to Christ, that's why the word belong means so much to me. You see it in all of our stuff, right? First word, belong. And it's because this is where our relationship with the Lord starts. He knows us when we're conceived, right? It's like Jeremiah, he knows us when we're in the womb. The Bible tells us so. When John leaped in his mother's womb, when Mary's voice hit Elizabeth's ears, what happened? She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. We know that life is special to God and that he honors us right from the time of conception. We're important to him. But there's something about bringing the child to baptism, doing what Jesus said we should do when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And how do we make disciples? We baptize and teach. Now the hard part starts. For the parents, for us as the family of God here, as fellow members of the body of Christ, here's the tough part. Baptism's easy. He slept through it. Baptism's easy. But the hard part is, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Circumcision was easy for the Hebrew people. Naming the child was easy. But it was raising them up so they understood what it meant to be Abraham's seed, what it meant to be heirs according to the promise. That's the hard part. Because you're going to have people in your life that are going to try to tell you it's just emperor's clothes. It's what you do that matters. Do you remember it? What happens when you get Alzheimer's? It'd be rebaptized every day so you can remember it? I'm sorry. It's just been, I don't know why I've been getting these emails all the time, but it just seems like I'm getting these emails from people that just want to say things that just don't make any sense. But anyways, I should take myself off the list. I tried that and it doesn't work. I had to talk to you about that there, Steve. How do I get off these email lists? But anyways, I don't understand. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about what he did, leaving heaven to be born in the manger. It's about what he did to live his life out, to share with us the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus, who we are as children of God, who we are as Abraham's seed, who we are as heirs according to the promise. It was Jesus who taught us all these things. And then he died for us, rose again for us, and has ascended to the right hand of God and poured out his Holy Spirit upon us so that we can be his heirs. We can be crowned with that crown with beauty instead of ashes. We can be given that robe of righteousness. We can put on the full armor of God. We can know the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be healed, to be given the power to live as his people each and every day. Brothers and sisters, this is a new year. A lot of people make a big deal about New Year's because it's like they get a fresh start. You get to put 2011 behind us. You know, the guy all dressed in gray with the long beard gets to put everything behind us. And the new babe, the new year, gets to start. Brothers and sisters, when we confess our sins each and every day, the promise is we get that fresh start. Every time we remember our baptism and remember that Jesus is the one who clothes us with righteousness, we get the fresh start. Every time we confess our sins to him and he forgives us our sins, we get the fresh start. New Year's for us is an everyday experience. Right? It's an everyday experience. So may we never forget that we are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of us who were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. We are heirs according to the promise. Doesn't that make you want to rejoice? Doesn't that make you believe that it doesn't matter whether you can remember? It doesn't even matter if the certificate that I just gave you gets lost. Don't lose it. But if it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the candle gets melted. It doesn't matter. All of these things pale in comparison to what God has done, is doing, and will do each and every day in Joseph's life, in our lives, because we are clothed with Christ, and we belong to him. We are Abraham's seed, and we are heirs according to the promise. Amen.